expectancy. And if you recall in the video, the center of the gift of expectancy is making Christ the focus of Christmas and looking towards the Christmas season with expectancy of the hope of the coming of Jesus. And do you remember something about the video and the nativity scene from last Sunday? What do you remember about it? They hid Jesus. Well, if you notice, our nativity is not in its usual place. It's up here at the front. And young people, Jesus is missing. And there's a clue, and I need your help to find him. So after service, you can try to find Jesus. If you find him, bring him to me. All right. And for those of you adults that are wondering what the clue is there at the end of the service, the last slide will have the clue up there. It was there also before the service on the screen. So today now we move from the gift of expectancy to the gift of grace.
Hello, my name is Lewis, and I love Christmas. I love everything about it. The snow, the lights. I'm sorry. But most of all, I love the reason for the season. That's why this year, as a Christian, I got so tired of hearing that disrespectful phrase. You know the one. Happy holidays. Every time somebody'd say it to me, I would give them a good old Merry Christmas right in their face. Booyah for the Messiah!
Stop getting riled up. You're gonna hurt yourself.
Mom! I'm trying to talk here.
Whatever. I'm calling Dr. Goldstein.
Sorry. I had to move back in with my mother after all this.
Tell the truth, sweetie.
Fine. Fine. I've always lived with my mother.
Against my better judgment.
Mom! Mom! Can I just tell my story? So recently, I went to the supermarket to pick up some eggnog. As I walked in, the guy standing next to the grocery carts throws a big, "Happy holidays, mister," right in my face like it's no big deal. But guess what?
What, honey?
It was a rhetorical question, Mom. I'm building the drama of the story.
Always so dramatic.
What? Oh, I'm the dramatic one? Oh, really? Anyway, the kid, this Happy Holidays punk, just got me riled up. So I grab the nog and I go to pay. The clerk rings me up, and what does she say? Happy Holidays. I was enraged. I was in a blind fury. I jump up on the counter, I grab the microphone, and I yell into it. It's not a holiday, people! It's Christmas! I'm mad as heck, and I'm not gonna take it anymore! Unfortunately, my foot slipped, triggering the conveyor belt. Now, bread and milk doesn't seem to be moving too fast, but a 175-pound man flies off that belt. And fly I did. Not like a majestic eagle or Superman. I flew like a partridge falling out of a pear tree. I flew into a display of Chia Pet nativity sets. Thus, my current condition. And then something funny happened. A gift arrived for me. Mom, a little help, please? No, not that one. No. No, to your left. Your left! No, the one that arrived! That's the one. Thank you.
You watch your tone with me, Lester.
Huh? It was from Elizabeth. The girl whose checkout stand I'd commandeered. She'd given me a gift. At first, it didn't make sense. I didn't deserve
anything good from her. Not the way I acted. I acted like a maniac. But then I got to thinking. I had been bound up in religion. And I didn't want to be bound up anymore. Religion is always having to be right. Grace. That's being right with others, being right with God. So this gift, I don't know what's in it. It could be more eggnog. It could be a Chia Pet nativity set. Doesn't matter. The real gift is better than either of those things.
Oh, you two are destined for wedlock!
Mom! Why did you do that? Why do you always go there? We're not going to get married!
It's a match made.
I don't even know her!
But you said she was...
It doesn't matter if I said she was cute!
If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with their own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through their heart. Who did I just quote? Ebenezer Scrooge, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. You know, old Ebenezer set a precedent. What was that precedent? It's anger during the Christmas season. Shaking your fist at the joy of the holiday and getting angry with others for the loss of the loved ones in your life. And like old Ebenezer, Lewis in that video was filled with anger. Now, when I watch that video, there's a couple of things that come through my mind. How does Lewis feed himself? How does he tend to his other needs? And we won't spend a lot of time there. But most of all, I really want to know what's in that package. But you know what that package was? It was a gift of grace. What is it? The gift of grace. You see, for Lewis, the gift came in the receiving. Now, in that video, some folks would say, you know, Lewis got what he deserved. A ride on a grocery store conveyor belt and some seriously painful injuries as a result of his rudeness, his obnoxiousness, and his ungodly responses to people. But you could watch the same video, and you could also see that Lewis got what he did not deserve, didn't he? A Christmas gift laced with grace from one of the folks that he so crudely offended in the store that day. In the video, we saw the portrayal of a man who enters a store filled with religious pride and leaves with a lot more humility than he expected. And in his humbled state, Lewis becomes a candidate to receive one of the greatest gifts of Christmas, and that is the gift of grace. So what is grace? You've probably seen this definition before. It's not earth-shaking, but it is so foundational to our faith in Christ. The gift can be described two ways. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve. Or you look at the other side of that coin, and you can put it this way. Grace is when we don't get something we do deserve. If you were speeding down the road while you're driving and you get pulled over by the police for speeding, and the officer looks at you and says, "I'm going to let you off with a warning today," that is grace. You didn't get what you deserved. Or if you're in line at the coffee shop and the folks in front of you are ordering a double latte, espresso, cappuccino, extra foam with a whatever, with a Christmas tree on top. You know, I'm not a coffee drinker and I don't go in those places, but you're standing there in line and the people in front of you, their orders are so complicated that you're just thinking it's going to take forever, and you start griping about these crazy people and their crazy stuff because you just want a plain cup of coffee. And then you get up to the counter and you order your plain cup of coffee and you go to pay, and the person at the register says, "That's okay, the person in line in front of you has already paid for yours." Is that not grace? That's grace. But you know, like Lewis, there's a lot of us instead of joy for the Christmas season, we get a body cast for the season. Here we are in the season where Jesus is the reason, right? And somewhere along the way, Lewis, in our video, got bound up in a religious quest to be right instead of a worthwhile pursuit of being right with other people. You see, the grace of God is not just about us being made right with God, but it's also about us being made right with other people. Lewis and those like him that find themselves wrapped up in the happy holidays versus Merry Christmas verbal war, you know, they may be trying to love God by somehow thinking they have to defend Christmas. You know what? There's news for folks like Lewis and the other soldiers of the Merry Christmas War. Those folks seem to lack any comprehension of what it is that God desires when it comes to loving other people. Lewis, with all the right motive in his heart, it would appear on the outside, actually, in a very clumsy way, was just expressing self-righteousness. And on the inside, his motive was just about being right. And it's really hard to express the love of Christ to other people when you're trying to be religiously right. It's hard to show the love of Christ to your neighbor when your tone conveys a sense of superiority. So let's delve deeper into this topic of grace. Let's get to the heart of the matter. The love of God. That God loves us. And when we react to other people with a judgmental response, we're not just showing a lack of respect for that individual, but we're also revealing that we have forgotten about the love of God towards us in the grace that is given us in Christ. Remember, grace is not about being right. It's about being right with God and being right with one another. You see, religion and law, they're about being right. Now let me ask you this question. Do you really want religion for Christmas? Do you really want religion for Christmas? Remember, religion can be simply defined as rules and regulations without a real relationship of God, with God and with other followers of Christ. You see, when we think about what we really want for Christmas, the furthest thing from our mind is religion. But yet, that is what so many of us are seeking. Remember the words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Remember the words when Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." You know, in the stable that night, there were the shepherds. The shepherds were the lowliest of society, uneducated, poor, looked down upon, filthy, dirty, smelled like sheep. A little while later on in the Nativity story, the wise men, the magi, they arrive from the east. They're the highly educated, wealthy, the elite. But they all come before the young Christ child. All were welcome to come and worship Jesus. God loved the dirty shepherd and the elite wise men the same. They were of equal value in the eyes of God, someone that he had sent his son for. As we consider the arrival of the Christmas season, remember that it is all about God's love. That the expression of love from God was embodied in the Christ child in the manger, was embodied in the Christ on the cross. So that means that the gift of grace that God has bestowed upon us allows my neighbor to say happy holidays to me and I don't get offended and feel like I need to defend Christmas. It allows me to love and extend grace to everybody. You know what grace does? Grace will allow, as it flows out of you, will allow the people who need to find Christ. It'll allow them the room, the space, to come and see what Christ is offering them. To see the joy in us, the love of God, the light of God in us. So that instead of pushing them away, we are drawing them to the Lord. Everyone is welcome at the foot of the cross. So is your next door neighbor welcome at the foot of the cross? Absolutely. Is your co-worker welcome at the foot of the cross? Absolutely. Is your classmate welcome at the foot of the cross? Absolutely. Is the atheist welcome at the foot of the cross? Absolutely. Is the Muslim welcome at the foot of the cross? Absolutely. Because Christ came for all. Remember that. Now let's go back to Lewis. Let's ask ourselves this question. what puffs us up? What makes us swell up with pride? You see, that was Lewis's problem. And because of that, he was full of anger and judgment, exasperation. In short, he was full of himself. There have been many times as a pastor where someone's talking to me about stuff and I smile and I nod. But on the inside, there's something I want to say, and I know I don't dare say it, because I know it'll be the end of the conversation and they'll probably have nothing ever to do with me again. But I so badly sometimes want to just look at them and say, you know what your problem is? You need to get over yourself. That doesn't go well. So even when we think it, we have to stop and we have to pray. And this is what I do. I say, oh God, help me. Help me get over myself here. And love this person as you love them and see them as you see them. You see, a person full of grace has not only received a gift, but that person then becomes a gift of grace to everyone they come into contact with. Now, there's something about grace that I want you to remember. Brother Craig read it at the beginning of the service for our scripture reading. And it's the scripture for this sermon. It is there, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. In other words, the only way you're going to get saved is to receive a gift directly from the hand of God. That gives grace, right? Now, when I think back to Lewis portrayed in that video, I'm inclined to believe that somewhere in Lewis's past that he had received that gift of grace. Don't you think so? I think he did. But what happened with Lewis, and sometimes happens with us, is that even though we might have received that gift of grace in the past, over time, we let religion and the need to be right get mixed up in with that grace. And that was evidenced in this quote from Lewis. Did you catch this quote in the video? Lewis finally recognized it. Lewis said, "All this time I've been bound up by religion, I don't want to be bound up anymore." Oh, how wearisome and tiring and exhausting it becomes when we try to carry our religious determination. I've seen it over and over and over again in my own life and in the lives of other Christians, that when I try to carry, or you try to carry, religious determination in pride, I've got to be right, I've got to be right, eventually it causes you to become bitter and angry and full of pride. Over the years, I've sadly seen people hop churches, get mad at this church or somebody in this church, and move and move and move. And my heart breaks because you see them trying to carry their religious pride, their determination to be right. And grace is nowhere to be seen. Holding grudges, holding offenses, feeling like God must be defended. One of the things you'll notice when you read through this book is that God is not into loud and proud people. Nope. God is not with arrogant people. What God is about breaking the pride, breaking the dependence on self, breaking that self-righteousness in the lives of people. And sometimes in this book, the scenes of brokenness are devastating and painful in those lives. But the purpose of it is to bring about grace. That's why James writes in James 4, 6, these words, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, when James quotes that, he is actually referring to a centuries-old principle found in the Proverbs. Proverbs 3 and verse 34 says, and these words could describe our Merry Christmas maniac in the video, toward the scorners, God is scornful, but to the humble, he gives grace. Think about society at large, outside of the walls of the church. Think about some of your neighbors, co-workers, classmates. What picture do you think that it might be that pops in their head when they hear someone say, I am a Christian, when they hear that word Christian? For many of the people we know, the first idea that's going to pop in their mind when they hear the word Christian is, oh, yeah, you're one of those people that are against everything. You're one of those anti-people. You're anti-this, anti-that. You get the idea. But what if? God's people lived in such a way that when the idea of Christian comes into the mind of a lost person, they would go, oh yeah. You're those folks I've seen handing out blankets to homeless people downtown when the weather turns cold. Oh yeah. You are those folks that traveled to a faraway land that was devastated by an earthquake to help them or other disaster. Oh yeah. It was those good folks from the church that came and sat by my mother's bedside as she was passing from this life last year. Isn't that grace? So as we move towards the end of this message, I want to ask you again another question. What binds you up? What, like Lewis, puts you in a full body cast, restricts you? In that video, Lewis in that body cast is a great illustration of exactly what religion does to us. It binds us up mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You may think you're putting on religious clothes, but in fact, you're putting on a religious body cast. But then, in the midst of that full body cast, comes the gift of grace. Lewis receives a gift of care and concern from the checker at the grocery store. When we're bound up in religion, God comes and says, here is a gift. It's called grace. It's called mercy. Did you notice in the video that Lewis had the package, but he was having difficulty opening it? That's not so with the gift of grace. God comes to us and says, here it is. And all we have to do is ask to receive it. And the Lord opens it and bestows it upon us. There's lots of body casts we can put ourselves in the Christmas season. So, what's your body cast? I was talking to somebody the other day, not in our church, so don't try to figure out who this was. And she was really upset. And I was talking to her, what's upsetting you? And she said, Christmas cards. Okay? Christmas cards? Why are you upset about Christmas cards? Well, I've been sending Christmas cards out for years, and some of these people I send cards to, they never send one back to me. And she was all bound up about it. And she was asking me, so, if you were me, what would you do? I said, I'd keep sending the card. I wouldn't worry about it. Now, you wouldn't cross them off your list? No. No. I tried to explain to them, honestly, you know, there are a lot of folks that don't do Christmas cards. You know, I typically don't do them. This doesn't mean I don't love you. That's just not something I've ever been into. Is it the gifts? Worrying about getting this Christmas present for so-and-so or what you're going to get, you know? Or the mad hassle of, you know, we just had Black Friday the other week, you know, and yeah, I agree. It's kind of hard to get in the Christmas season when you're standing in line waiting on the one checker at Walmart, you know, to be available, you know, and, you know, and fighting that madhouse for zombie apocalypse death video game or something like that, you know. And it's hard to get in the Christmas spirit. Or maybe for some of you, you're worried about what you might gift, you know, what you might get, you know, and you're looking at that wrapped present under the tree and going, oh my, doesn't that look to be in the shape of a vacuum cleaner, you know, or something like that, you know, and you're stressed out about it. What about family? Oh, did I just step into a minefield there, didn't I? Is it the family? You worried about maybe all those dozens of relatives descending upon your house and they'll say they'll bring dessert and there's 17 people there and they show up with one pie. Or maybe it's the in-laws or the outlaws and you're like, oh, they're so hard to deal with and you're all stressed out about it. And, or how about this, maybe your body cast this Christmas is the church. Maybe the one place that's supposed to be free for us to accept God's love suddenly becomes the most restrictive. Y'all know who Garrison Keillor is? Writer, Prairie Home Companion guy. Yeah, remember that guy? I love this. He once said, God has great respect for directors of Christmas pageants because he directed the first one. But all the things of Christmas can feel like a body cast if we stop focusing on the gift of grace. Have you ever walked into a room of someone who was just Scrooge-like? And it's like the windows start frosting over. And then somebody else comes in that's full of grace. And it's suddenly like somebody lit a warm fire in the room. And the whole temperature and the whole attitude of the room changes. You see, grace is not just something we can receive, but it's also something we can give. So, let go of the religion stuff this Christmas. Let it go. Let go of the need about always having to be right. Let go of thinking you have to defend Christ. And receive His love and give His love. And you'll find that will set you free. I'm going to say it again. Grace is not just something you can receive. It is something you can give. You can give it away. Can you let it go when you've been circling the parking lot for 10 minutes trying to find an empty parking spot and somebody backs out and suddenly then somebody else snags the spot before you can get it? Can you let it go and not grow angry? As you're getting ready for your Christmas celebration with your family and the turkey's black on the inside and still pink and red on the inside, can you let it go? Can you help others become unbound from religion? I want to leave you with some verses from Isaiah chapter 58. It's a little bit longer reading, but oh, how these verses speak to us in the holiday season. Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12. The Bible says this. This is God speaking. No, this is the kind of fast I want. I want you to remove the sinful chains, to tear away the ropes of the burdensome yoke, to set free the oppressed, and to break every burdensome yoke. You can put body cast in there for yoke if you want. I want you to share your food with the hungry and provide shelter for homeless, oppressed people. When you see someone naked, clothe him. Don't turn your back on your own flesh and blood. Then your light will shine like the sunrise. Your restoration will quickly arrive. Your godly behavior will go before you. And the Lord's splendor will be your rear guard. Then you will call out, and the Lord will respond. You will cry out, and He will reply, "Here I am." You must remove the burdensome yoke from among you and stop pointing fingers and speaking sinfully. You must actively help the hungry and feed the oppressed. Then your light will dispel the darkness, and your darkness will be transformed into noonday. The Lord will continually lead you. He will feed you even in parched regions. He will give you renewed strength, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring that continually produces water. Your perpetual ruins will be rebuilt. You will reestablish the ancient foundations. You will be called the one who repairs broken walls, the one who makes the streets inhabitable again. Remember what Lewis said? Religion is wanting to be right, but grace is wanting to be right with others and with God. Let's pray. Father, help us open your gift of grace this Christmas to receive it from you, and to give the gift of grace to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You need to respond to the message? No, I'm not.